Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. We're on the second issue of the Lock and Key series. So let's go ahead and get right to the episode. All right, so we start the next issue out with
a picture that Bode drew.
Bode
Lockie.
Wow.
Asshole. But what he did this past summer, and it's basically just recapping his version of what happened in issue one with his dad dying, them moving this cow on the way.
It's their move, and then they get
I saw a thousand cows.
And
there we go.
And look at everybody's face for the drawing that he did of the family sitting in front of the house.
I mean, at least Kinsey's happy.
Yeah.
And Duncan.
His mom looks like she's blind.
Well, to be fair, their mom became an alcoholic, so...
Yeah.
But it talks about how we found the ghost door.
A secret door, when you go through it, it turns you into a ghost.
Yeah, and attached to the picture is a note to Mrs. Locke, you know, saying, I know what Bode went through this summer and want to help him address his feelings. However, some of the kids saw this comic and were upset. Can we meet? Nina is just like, I don't know what to do with this kid.
And then Duncan's like, here, have some more wine.
Yeah. Duncan probably...
He's a pusher.
He really was.
An enabler.
Yep.
Most definitely. Nina's...
debating on whether it was a good idea or not to move the kids to, you know, a key house. And, take them away from their old life.
Yeah, but what was their old life? I mean...
Nothing anymore.
Exactly. Right?
She shows him the picture, the comic strip that that Bode had drawn, and she's like, he even imagined there was a door that he could travel through to become a ghost, and so he could be closer to his dad. Duncan's like, Rendell and I used to pretend when we were kids that we were warriors and witches and sorcerers and shit like that.
Yeah, like warriors or ghosts or stuff.
Well,
like normal 10-year-old kids do.
Dude, I pretend I'm a warrior still. I have fucking swords. No.
Yeah, that's a little different. But we see, as they're talking, we see that Ghost Bode is watching over them. And then he starts to talk about how, the first time I died, I turned into a ghost. It was really scary. But the second time was better. And so he's just ultimately just wandering around as a ghost, looking in on everything. Like, he figures out that all he has to do is think about where he wants to go, as long as it's on Key House property, and he goes there. Like, he goes to see Tyler, and Tyler's taking a shower.
And one of the things he says is, when you're a ghost, you're seriously cold, and he flies through the water, and it, basically freezes Tyler out. It's kind of funny.
Then he starts thinking about Kinsey, and he goes to her, and she had dreadlocks before, but she has since taken them out, and that was just regular... long hair. So he goes, looks in on Kinsey, and she's holding her pillow, and he's reminiscing that it's similar to how she held him while they were hiding from Sam and Al. And she is sitting there crying, biting her lip, drawing blood, so it's obvious she's not dealing with it well.
And so Bode, being a kid, I mean, Bode's like, what, 6, 7 years old now?
I think he's like...
He'd have to be 6 or 7 because he's in school.
Somewhere between 8 and 10.
Is he?
I think.
I don't remember. But he's still, a little kid. And he's like, I thought that I'd share with Kinsey and Tyler how much fun being a ghost is. And maybe it would help them not feel so bad about Dad.
Yeah, Kinsey basically told him to get the hell out of her room.
Get the fuck out of her room.
Oh, yeah.
He says right there, she's the F word.
Then he tries to give Tyler the puppy dog face and... Tyler just doesn't
stuffs
care.
Hand in his face.
He just tells him to fuck off,
basically.
I like how he says, I told Captain Stupid he better get used to cold showers. Like, I love that. That's great. Then we see him at the, looking pool or whatever? Garden?
Sure.
He's fishing. I'm using fishing quotation marks because not like he's going to be catching a lot of fish there. But his mom comes up. Nina walks up and asks if he was a ghost again today. He says, for a while. And he asks if he saw Dad. And he said, I looked around for him, but I couldn't see him. Maybe he doesn't know we moved. And she told him...
If you run into Dad, give him a kiss from Mom, would you?
And then he said that I will. And he also said that you're freaking out everybody at school. You need to just kind of calm down with everything.
I can't really tell if she's like just being stoic with him or if she's just kind of indifferent with his situation with all the stress going on.
She's probably drunk.
Yeah, I'm thinking I don't want to condone alcoholism as a coping mechanism, but that is her way of dealing with things right now. So she's constantly drinking to deal with the pain. She's not being a good parent because the kids are basically parents themselves. And she's taking on stride like, oh, this is just whatever. And we see that later on.
Right.
Hardcore.
But she does seem to handle this situation with Bode and the ghost pretty well, actually.
I think she just thinks it's a game.
Right, but at the same time, like, I feel like when she spoke with Bode, it seemed to be in a way that almost encourages him because she doesn't, like, discourage him from doing anything. Yeah, he keeps searching.
Yeah. And then we see his fishing lure actually has a magnet on it, so he's picking up metal in the pond because I guess that's a good place to search. But he starts to whistle. And then
Before we go to this, I'd like to point out that he's using a magnet to pick up an aluminum can.
It could be an old can. Yes. Old cans are made from
tin cans, it would work, but it's not a tin can shape.
Anyway, so we get back to Bode. He's whistling, and we hear an echo in the well house. So he hops up into there.
Goes through the window into the well house.
Yes, because he does have a key, Well, that's the first opening he sees, too. But he asks, hello, anybody? And then we hear an echo of low, low, body, body.
Maybe he's got a British accent and he says, anybody?
Woody?
Booty?
So he asks, if you are my echo. We hear Coco. And then we hear, yes, I am, Bode. Wait, don't go. So he's freaked out.
Well, yeah.
Which I would be, too, if I heard my echo and all of a sudden other words start talking. But he tries to go get Tyler and Kinsey to come out to the key house, the wall house, and say that there's somebody in there. They don't believe him, but they, it's the little brother, so they're going to go anyway. Tyler looks in, only sees Bode's footprints, so he's like, there's nobody in here, and you literally just heard your echo. He tries to argue that she was my echo, but it was a she, and she called me by name. After that is all settled down, they decide to take Bode back to the house and basically tell him to not tell anybody about the echo.
Well, also, Kinsey right there, Tyler's, telling, Bode it's nobody, it's nothing, and then Kinsey says, well, I don't know, what if it is something? She tries to say it, and Tyler cuts her off. And tells her, not to encourage him in his, delusions or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that's when he talks about the footprints. There's centuries of dust on there, and there's only one set of footprints, and they're, Bode's.
Yeah, on the next page, we can see that Bode is clearly dreaming about his father. And it's you can tell it's a dream because there's a huge hole in his head.
Well, that is black and white, so.
And this is the first moment where he kind of tells him a knock-knock joke in his dreams, and he tells him that you're supposed to say who's there whenever you ask a knock-knock joke, which clearly references something later on. Mm-hmm. But
another reference we see is we've got this wolf scratching at the ground, but the ground's got numbers on it, number 11 on it. So that becomes important later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it almost looks like it could be like a door or a coffin. The way it looks in this particular picture.
Yeah. But Bode wakes up. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. He was, again, having a dream. And so he decides that since it's so late and everybody's asleep, he's going to go be a ghost again and go check up on his echo. The echo is of this pale woman, long dark hair, in the well. This is, she's literally standing in the well at the bottom of it. In the water, and Bode is kind of looking on her, and she feels a presence around her, and she asks if it's Bode playing ghost,
because she overheard him talking to his mom, And then she says she wants to be friends. And then she tells him that he has to be her friend because he's the only one that can see her.
So he goes back to having a body and comes back later. Actually, a few different times, it looks like. Well, no, yeah, a few different times. And is talking to her. Just is starting to have a conversation with his Echo.
It almost looks like he spends just an entire day there because it's like raining in every panel. Unless every day it was raining.
Well,
they're in Massachusetts.
I guess that is a good possibility, huh?
But so they're just having I guess this is just the one day though.
Yeah, so that's what it kind of looks like because he's wearing the same clothes too.
Yeah, but they have a conversation, and he asks him if there's a way for her to get out, and she said it's humanly impossible to climb out of this well. But even if you drop me a rope, I'd still be stuck in this place. The door to the wellhouse is magic, too. Echoes can come to life in here, but they can't step through the door without fading away. And he's kind of... He seems a little bummed by that, because he asked how long been down there. And she says, right now I'm your Echo. When your father was a boy, I used to be his Echo, and I've echoed others. They start talking about his dad for a minute.
Echo changes the subject to, you know, the doors.
Yes. And the Echo makes mention that his dad knew all about the doors and that they used to talk about them all the time. And Bo asks, how many doors are there? And the Echo says, lots. Doors to other worlds, doors to other possibilities. Want to be a grown-up? There's one that will turn you into an old person when you walk through it. There's another will turn you into a girl and would turn your sister into a boy. Then there's the anywhere key. With that one, you can open almost any door and step through into anywhere in the world you like, as long as you have a clear picture in your head of where you're going. Unlock your bedroom and step into Paris. And it kind of gives Bode an idea. You know, you can't go through the front door without fading away, but what about some other door? And the Echo kind of says, hey, that's a good idea. If we can get the anywhere key, I can get out of here. And then he makes mention that he brought the things that she asked for, which was the mirror and a pair of scissors, so you can cut your hair, is what she says. Or what he says. So he drops them down there, and she picks them up, and we see her reflection in the mirror, which is this...
The Red Skull.
Kinda.
With hair.
Just this skull looking like skin pulled tightly over the face. Grotesque being.
And it has almost slitted eyes, which kind of refers to a reflection we saw recently.
Oh yeah, so yeah, this reflection of this woman is similar to what we saw in Sam's sink. So, speaking of which, going back to Sam... She says, I've got the things you needed, and she magically, I don't know how exactly, but magically is able to port them to the mirror and the scissors to Sam, you know, in San Francisco.
Do you think those are the actual scissors and mirror, or just an echo of them?
Well, they're real enough for him to...
Right, real enough to use, obviously.
Exactly, so...
But,
even if they weren't, well, but then again, similar thing... If the echo doesn't go through the front door, it becomes real.
Yeah, that's true.
So it possibly could be an echo.
But here's the question, though. Without the anywhere key, how exactly is she able to echo through water that's, you know, an entire country apart?
She does explain that she can use reflections elsewhere to, like, interact with people. And I think there's, like, a specific condition for that, though. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Because she uses it to appear in pictures as well.
Yeah, I know, because that's how Sam... we'll get into that later. Yeah. That's in another, I think, another story arc somewhere.
Anyways,
later.
While we're on the subject of Sam, though, he's just finished tattooing a prison tattoo on his arm of what looks like a wolf's head.
Yep.
Or a dog, a black dog, you know?
With, I don't know what that tail is, but...
It looks like something tail. Later on.
But we also, if you were looking at his other tattoos...
Yeah, he's got a looks like the door to the well, or the window to the well house on his chest, and the reflection.
He's also got the number 11 on him, which kind of refers back to that dream just a little bit ago.
We've got a keyhole just above it. We've got what looks like the well itself on his shoulder. And then another door on his bicep. Then another number 11 behind his on his shoulder blade, on his back, with the spiderweb underneath it, and another key, which I believe that is the... That could be the first remnants of the Omega Key. I could be wrong on that one. But, I mean, we can't see a clear picture of it on his other tricep. So, I'm not entirely sure. But he's able to get to grab the mirror and scissors out of the water. And that ends the second issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more Lock and Key.